Amen. Hey, thank you, sir, for doing that really long scripture reading. Appreciate that. How's everybody doing? All right, getting ready to have fun, worship God, talk about the Good Shepherd. All right, cool. Next slide. Okay, so what kind of shepherd is a good shepherd? Next slide. All right, so what shepherd are we looking for? So sometimes we follow the wrong shepherds, right? But if you seek, you will find. If you listen, you will hear. You will hear the good shepherd's voice. Next slide. So why did Jesus talk about sheep and call us sheep? You know, sheep need a lot of care. I was thinking of Deb when I was, because she's talked to me about having sheep before. But sheep need a lot of care, right? Next slide. They need shearing. And their wool's not nice and clean either. It's like dirty. It's itchy. I think I'm allergic to wool, but that's a personal problem, right? Next slide. Sometimes there's another strategy too. If every sheep looks like a dog, maybe you don't have to worry about wolves. I don't know. I'm not going to try that with my chickens, though. Okay, next slide. Okay, so have you ever seen that show, America's Dirtiest Jobs? I couldn't find anything in there about sheep, but I'm pretty sure that would be a good episode of that. John, I'm not going to tell you what they're doing in that vehicle. I think you can figure it out. Next slide. Okay, so why does Jesus refer to us as sheep? Actually, that's a pretty ancient theme. You know, before God came as Jesus, that theme was going on before. You know, Hermes, he's a Greek god. Later on, the Romans called him Mercury. He's that guy that I think just wears boxers or something and runs around with wings on his feet. Do you know who I'm talking about? He used to be on old dimes in the 40s. Well, he was also a shepherd god. So once a year, they'd get the most handsome guy that would win the, I don't want to call it a beauty contest, but yeah, most handsome guy. He'd have his shirt off and he'd carry his sheep around the city to sacrifice it to the shepherd god. That must have itched too. There's a statue of one of those guys doing that, and which he was supposed to be representing Hermes. Well, there's the Egyptian gods too. They dress up like snakes. That's why they wear that hood. It's supposed to be a cobra's hood. But you notice on one side he has a crook because he's supposed to shepherd the people. On the other side he has a flail, which a flail is used for wheat, but it can also be used as a weapon. Kind of like nunchucks, which I got the memo from the sheriff's department saying they're legal. So if you're carrying nunchucks in your car now, you don't have to tell the officer you're getting ready to flail wheat, right? But that's a Japanese flail. But a lot of implements have become weapons. Yeah, they can be used for weapons, you know, from a simple staff to all kinds. I learned that in martial arts. Sometimes he goes so fast, I feel like I'm playing him. Feel like I'm playing that, what is it, that twister game? But yeah, I'm taking it with my little girl. But with God, we don't need any weapons. Sometimes just a word is weapon enough. A word is just weapon enough with God. God's always with us. So that's why, I think that's why, because sheep aren't perfect. They follow a leader. And then also he's going back to an ancient motif about, you know, rulers being shepherds. And that's a lot of times, that's what the Jewish kings were called even, shepherds that shepherd their people. And the 23rd Psalm too, I'm glad to use that when it's not at a funeral. Most of the time I've had to do that. But 23rd Psalm is written by David. And, you know, David was considered a shepherd king. He took care of his people. He was a shepherd before he was a king, which is unusual in many ways. But it's probably why he was such a good king. But, so it's an ancient theme. And so I think that's why Jesus used it, because it really hit home with people. Next slide. So there's Jesus. The setting for this is probably at the temple, because I read all around it, some of the chapters before, some after it, and they all seem to be at the temple or close by. And there's always Pharisees hanging out asking him questions. Although in this particular one, it just doesn't have a Pharisee. But I think that's kind of where he was for this particular parable. And a lot of times parables come in two parts too. He'll say the part to the crowds, and then the disciples will say, "Hey, what's going on? What did that mean?" And so they come in two parts. Now this time, he gives a second part. It seems like he just gives it to the same group of people he's talking to. So let's get started. Next slide. All right, so first of all, he talks about thieves and bandits. Actually, those are two different charges. A bandit is a person that attacks you with a weapon, just like that guy. He's a bandit. He's like, "Hey, you better give me your money or else." And then we'll go to the next slide. That's a thief. They're real sneaky. They break into your house and stuff. They kind of try to sneak around. They might hurt you, though, if they get caught. And so Jesus gets started. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, anybody who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." And it might be thief or a bandit. You know, it depends on which translation. So anybody that does not come in through the gate. So what does that mean? Hey, I can disguise myself and come through the gate. And maybe it doesn't mean that. Next slide. So thieves, we'll talk about that in a minute. But thieves and bandits, sometimes they do disguise themselves. Now I'll tell you how to see through that in a minute. But they're false prophets, false religions, our own idols that pull us away from Jesus, and every evil that tempts us or makes us question our faith. None of these things come through the gate, meaning none of them come from Jesus nor conform to any of His teachings. So as a chaplain, I'm a retired military chaplain, I'm sheriff's chaplain, I work in the jails. I feel like it's my job to read about different kinds of religions. And so I read different religions, and that most of them all have the same basic truth and everything. But the thing that's different about our religion is we don't have to jump through hoops to get to God. In other religions, it's like, okay, they just about have something like the Ten Commandments. They have a type of mysticism, or, you know, the first song we sang, you know, she's singing about angels ascending and descending. You know, so a lot of that, those elements are in these religions, but you have to strive really hard to get to God. In one religion, you got to do 51% right to get to heaven. If you do 51% wrong, you're not going to heaven. In the Egyptian religion, Osiris, he like weighed your heart against a feather on a scale. Now, how could you do that? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way we can go to God. In our religion, God comes to us. He comes to us as a person. He comes to us with parables. He comes to us with His teachings, and anything that doesn't go along with that is false. It's basically all it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, during ceremonies, when everybody has to be present, all religions and stuff, I don't talk like that. But they still see, they either see my collar, an army, they'd see my cross. And when I pray with a group of mixed people, I'll still pray to Jesus, but I pray in your name. Because they know I'm about Jesus, because I have a cross or I have a collar. So I'm still witnessing to them. Maybe I can say a prayer that helps get them interested. But I'm not supposed to force my beliefs on anybody, you know, if it's a ceremony or something where they're required to go to. Now, if it's a Christian service, that's okay. And one time a Muslim chaplain and I gave a prayer breakfast together, and him and I were talking, and we were like, you know what? You be 100% Muslim and I'll be 100% Christian, and we'll focus on, you know, the things that we agree on. That worked out pretty good. I did a Christian message. He did Muslim blessing. We did some songs about Jesus. You know, so we agreed. I talk about Jesus. He can talk about Muhammad. It worked out pretty good. So, but anything that does not go through Jesus, it is false. And a lot of these religions, when you see the leaders, they're doing things that are bad, which, yeah, we have problems too. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about that too soon. So you have to conform to Jesus' teaching. So something can look good, but they're not. Next slide. So the one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Next slide. And the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So we know the voice of Jesus, which is by his teachings. Now this guy, hired hands, can also go through the gate, but they have to be searched by the watchman. I think that guy's a hired hand. He doesn't look too nervous. So, but yeah, we'll talk about the hired hands in a little bit. So we know Jesus. We know his voice. How do we know his voice? It's by what we learn about him by reading the Bible, especially the Gospels and you know, so the books of Paul. Yeah, so we learn about that. And also through the Holy Spirit, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sins, he fills us with his Spirit because we're asking him inside. And he doesn't leave us, but he says, like in the Lord's Prayer, we pray every Sunday. Probably should pray it every day, especially the part about asking God to forgive your sins. Because that way we maintain our spiritual fitness. That way, you know, the walls are broken down between us and God, whether we erect them on purpose or not. So if we pray the prayer of forgiveness, that doesn't mean you do anything you want to and then say, hey, God, forgive me. It means you work on it and you get better and better, get rid of old habits that hold you back and things in your life that at first you might not recognize, but they might be standing between you and God. And so we get better and better, but it's a lifelong process. That's why sheep are dirty and they need maintenance, right? Next slide. So when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of him, of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's two types of techniques that shepherds use to lead their sheep. One technique is they open a gate and they drive their sheep along. They may have a dog, which is kind of like a hired hand, right? But he's a dog. Yeah, he's a hired paw. I don't know. But yeah, so they drive the sheep ahead. You know, and they drive them, you know, and the dog kind of keeps them in place and stuff. But there's another way they do it too, and that's also used in the Middle East. The shepherd might whistle. Actually, they probably use both of them. But the shepherd might whistle or call out the names of the sheep if he doesn't have too many. If he has 100, that's kind of a... I think only Jesus can do that one. But so he goes ahead of the sheep and the sheep follow him. That's the method that Jesus uses. He doesn't force us to follow him. So no, he doesn't force us to do that at all. We choose it of our own accord. And so we choose to follow him. And he'd like everybody to follow him. There's nobody that probably couldn't get saved, to start with at least. So Jesus died for everybody, so it's a shame that not many, you know, a lot of people don't take advantage of that. So he's calling us, and he's even calling people that are not his sheep, because he wants them to become part of the fold so that he can love them and bless them, make them happy, make their life worthwhile living. Because no matter what we do, how much money we make, who we know, where we go, how much we travel, not going to be happy without God. We might think we're happy, but we're not. There's always going to be that discontent. And the only way we can have the peace that passes all understanding is to hear the Good Shepherd's voice and heed it and listen to him. Next slide. So they will not follow a stranger, though. They will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So if we hear somebody that's a false prophet or somebody... you know, somebody, you know, telling us to live in the woods with them and drink Kool-Aid or something like that. You know, false prophets. We know that's not right, you know. And then I was reading about a church organization that, you know, was hung up on a certain prophecy or something like that. But and it sounded good, but the first thing they did was build a huge expensive church. I mean, not just a normal one like this one, you know, and that kind of raises a red flag. And I found out the founder of that denomination is still here today. It's not this one, though. But I found out the founder of that denomination was involved in several really, really, really bad, immoral things. So he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So if you have discernment, even in a church, you can see the wrong leader. You know, if you're not just going along with what everybody else is doing, but you listen to a good shepherd's voice, you can discern things. You can discern whether somebody that looks like a good religious leader is one, or whether they're not one, you can just tell it. God opens your eyes. So you do not, the sheep do not know the voice of a stranger. They go away. They're like, hey, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to listen to Jesus. Next slide. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So oftentimes it's like that. Sometimes, you know, disciples ask him. Other times, in this case, it doesn't say he just told the disciples. He just retold the story again. So here we go to part two. Part two of the Good Shepherd. Next slide. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. So are we listening to the Good Shepherd? Are we listening, or do we look like we just listened? Like, at least the people, the disciples he was talking to, they were honest. They were trying to listen, but they still didn't understand. So he explained it even more. Next slide. So I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So Jesus is saying that if we accept him into our hearts, he's the right gate we should follow in and out. You know, whatever we do, he's going to take care of us. He's going to give us provision. He's going to meet our needs. When I talk to inmates in jail, they talk about this too, and they're like, well, I got a place to stay and I got food to eat, and some of them have more there than they do on the outside. So, you know, God's going to give us provision, and usually he'll give us more than just that. But God's going to give us provision, and God's going to take care of us. And then when it's time for us to go, we're going to go home, and we'll probably be like, man, why did I try to stay here so long? But yeah, I mean, you're going to try to stay here so long, but once you go there, you'll be like, oh, wow, I've been missing out on all this. So we have an eternal hope. We're going to be eternally with Jesus. We're going to keep on doing whatever job he wants us to do. You know, I don't think we're going to just be up in heaven playing the harps or stuff like that. I think we're going to do a lot. So he's going to take care of us, and he's going to watch over us. Next slide. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So anybody that's a false leader or something, they're in it for themselves. They're not here to help other people, even though some of them may be fooling themselves. Next slide. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So yeah, there's Jesus like over the precipice, which he did. He laid down his life for us. He did it so that we might all be saved. And we have the peace that you're experiencing now, you know, if you have Jesus in your heart. You have that peace right now. He fills the emptiness that money can't fill. He fills the emptiness that possessions can't fill, cars, houses, other people can't fill that emptiness either. Only Jesus can. And then all this other stuff is good stuff, but it's not going to do the job that Jesus does. Next slide. The hired hand, who's not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Yeah, we're getting ready. We're talking about hired hands now. Okay, these hired hands, they're trying to do a better job, right? They're not running away from the wolves, so I don't know. Maybe that's like Trader Joe's where you sample food, except that's Trader Joe's for wolves. I don't know. But yeah. So those guys are, they're actually on the right track to being a decent hired hand. But next slide. Hired hands. Hired hands represent those who watch over the flock. These can be ministers, priests, deacons, youth leaders, laypersons, anyone who helps lead the church. I'm doing that right now. I do that in jail. These are all good and necessary roles to help people nurture faith in Christ. So that's it. Anybody that works in a church, volunteers, or even just being part of a church and going out and ministering to people, you know, we eventually become one of the good shepherd's hired hands. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Except that, next slide. Hired hands are not perfect, but we can make mistakes. So they're subject to imperfection. They can be subject to sin. And they do not love the sheep as Jesus does. So do not put too much faith in religious leaders. Instead, focus on personal relationship with Jesus. So I mean, no matter how good I am, I can't love you as much as Jesus does. And some people might think that's strange. I don't know. But yeah, no matter how good I am or how good any pastor is, or yeah, we're all perfect, and everybody, we're all sinners come to Christ. So we're all sinners. You know, we're not perfect. We're subject to mistakes. I got an example I can give you. I'm not going to mention any names because I'm on the internet. But it's not anybody we know here. Well, I know, but not you know. But anyhow, it was a pastor, yeah, years ago before I was going into the military, and I was working in a church. It was a church that was led by a bigger church. And that bigger church had a pastor that the church I was working in, you know, he kind of founded it. And the pastor of my church, he kind of idolized this pastor in a bigger church. You know, he thought that pastor was the greatest guy. He'd quote him and everything in church. Not saying any of that's bad. You know, we like John Wesley, right? Martin Luther. But anyhow, this pastor got caught in a sexual scandal and everything. And so pastor of my church, all of a sudden, he couldn't preach a good sermon. All of a sudden, he just wasn't an effective preacher. He was always depressed because he like put all his eggs in one basket. He like trusted a person. See, he didn't intentionally do that, but he was trusting a person more than he did God. He was idolizing a person like, oh yeah, this guy's great. You know, this guy's, you know, had a big church, thousands of people. You know, but then he was caught in a scandal, and it all came to the surface. And our pastor eventually left the church, and, you know, somebody else had to be the pastor. So, you know, that's what happens when we put too much faith in hired hands. That, you know, some of them even are working for Jesus, and they make some kind of mistake. If we put too much faith in a person, a political figure, an evangelist, or whatever, and we base our faith on whatever that person does or says, we can set ourselves up for failure because they're not perfect. And so that's why we need to listen to a good shepherd. If there is somebody we like or somebody that's over us, and a good shepherd tells us, hey, you need to confront them about something they're doing or something, then we do that. We police each other, and that's the way it's supposed to be. We trust in Jesus, but we support each other. We support each other. And we even listen to each other. But, you know, we trust in Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate test. Bible's the ultimate test. A lot of times people overinterpret the Bible. And I don't really believe in that. I think the Bible's actually straightforward, just like these parables. I think prophecy is, too. It can be a little complicated, but if you read it and just read it for what it is and what it says, you know, because if you interpret the Bible, you can wind up with all kinds of crazy stuff. The seminary I went to, one of my professors told me, now I went to a Southern Baptist seminary, so I don't know, y'all may not want me to come back. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't believe in everything they believe, like, you know, you get saved no matter what. But actually, a professor there said that was one of the heresies, like, you know, once you get saved, you're always saved no matter what you do. Yeah, he's like, that's a Southern Baptist heresy. But not all the Baptists believe that. This is just some of them believe it in the church. And he said there's like 15 heresies going around in the church. That's another message, Joe. So some of the things we believe, you know, as long as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, but you don't exactly, you know, believe other things because somebody has taught us differently, that doesn't mean you're going to hell. But it does mean we need to read the Bible, you know, and maintain our spiritual fitness. And then that way we'll start seeing through some of this stuff that, you know, some of the stuff we might have been told is true, not necessarily true, it's slightly different. Next slide. So when that happens, just like that pastor I told you about that put all his faith in his senior pastor, it allowed Satan to kind of mess up his ministry. It was really his ministry was the most important ministry, not this other guy's ministry. You know, he left that church and started his own church, so his ministry was the most important thing. Satan does not have any more power than we allow Satan to have. Everybody gives Satan too much credit. It's like, oh, I just hate Satan. He's causing wars. I hate Satan. Satan destroyed my ministry. I've heard that before. I heard a preacher say, well, I tried to do this ministry, but Satan destroyed it. You know, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Satan is totally powerless. He's not even the king of hell. When he goes to hell, he's not going to have a fun time. He's going to be chained up in hell. So he's not like the king of hell and all that. He does control a lot of demons. And what they do is they're not any more powerful than we allow them to be. And then they suck off our energy and, you know, negative stuff. Just like that pastor, you know, they got a victory over that guy, which I think he came around sooner or later because, you know, he was letting this other guy that messed up affect his ministry. And so that's how Satan can get in, and then that's how the wolf comes and scatters the flocks. So, you know, we got to stand up to something like that, and whatever we're supposed to do, we need to put that first and not base it on other people. I think that's a carry away to that, because the hired hand is subject. Religious leaders are subject to imperfections. And so they're not Jesus, you know, no matter how good a preacher is or how good somebody is, they're not like Jesus. They're not even close to Jesus. Next slide. So I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, this is what I like about Gospel John. And then I like this about the other three Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels because more or less, they're kind of like the same stories. Sometimes the events are in a slightly different order. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke basically have a lot of the same things where John puts in different things. Like I think this parable, I think it's more or less unique. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the earliest Gospels, they directly quoted Jesus, and guess who he said he was? Son of Man. So that showed a lot of humility. But then, you know, in those Gospels too, he still talked about the Father. You know, whereas John makes it clear, you know, the Father and the Son, Jesus. And they're both one too, you know, even according to John. So it's different perspectives, and however you want to understand the Trinity, it's okay as long as you believe in Jesus. You know, like me, I looked at a diagram of the Trinity one time, and it said Jesus is not the Father, is not the Holy Spirit. Whereas me, I kind of look at it as they're all the same. All the same. Jesus is the one we understand because God came as Jesus, and He's the only way we can understand God because God is so out there and so above and beyond. There's no way we can understand God except through Jesus. And then His Holy Spirit is a Spirit that's everywhere. I think everywhere in creation except mankind, really, because we are humankind, because we decided to, you know, reject Him in the Garden of Eden. But we became free moral agents, too, because God didn't want us to force us to follow Him, you know, because we're not like a part of nature, animals, and, you know, everything. So God loves us. And even though we sinned and fell from grace, He came and died on the cross for us. And so this shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Next slide. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. So I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's Peter talking to Cornelius, a first name Gentile Christian. This made me think of the last episode I watched on The Chosen where Jews aren't against alcohol or anything. So, he was talking to, who was it, Gaius? And Gaius offered him a drink. And I forgot which one that was. Can anybody remember that when I was talking to Gaius? It was one of the disciples, though. But Gaius offered him a drink, and Gaius is like, he's like, no, I can't. He's like, oh, yeah, Jews can't drink after Gentiles. So, yeah, they can't. Couldn't share food with Gentiles, couldn't eat the same food. So that's why before Peter went to see Cornelius, he dreamed about this sheet coming down with all animals. And he's like, and God was saying, hey, you have to eat these. And Peter's like, I can't do that. And then God's like, it's not anything I prepare clean for you. Or, you know, so God was telling Peter the rules are kind of changing a little bit. So when he went to Cornelius's house and everybody in the house got saved, I'm sure he stayed for dinner. He probably had a little pork, but that doesn't mean Peter went back and ate pork at home. And there are real Jews that have been Jews for, I mean, Christians that are Jews that have been Jews ever since, you know, over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here. And they still follow the Jewish law. They're the Messianic Jews. They follow the law. They follow the dietary stuff. They follow all the... It's like you just about have to go to college to learn all the stuff the Jews do, all the little holidays and Sabbath prayers and everything. But they believe Gentile Christians don't have to do all that. So Messianic Jews, they just say they have to do it because they're Jews. But, you know, we don't have to do it because they're Gentiles. So, yeah, I thought that'd be interesting. Some of the stuff I found out about reading about other things, other variations of Christianity. So that's where everything goes into, you know, if you eat something that's offending your brother, don't eat it and things like that. So other sheep, that's why we're here now. That's why we're here because Peter, Catholics call him the first pope, but Peter, you know, heeded the good shepherd's voice, and he probably remembered that when he had that dream. He probably remembered Jesus because this is later on, but he probably remembered Jesus saying there's other sheep that are not of this flock. And then Peter's like, oh man, he's pinning that rose on me. So Peter's like, all right, I'm the one that's going to start this. And so that was pretty cool. This is why we're here today. This is why we're here today. Next slide. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. Oh, that's why. He paid the ultimate price. He came, he knew that's what he was going to do. He came to do this for us. He came to do this for us. I was talking with somebody about another religion. We were talking about how we believe, and they're like, well, I can't be a Christian because why would God do something like that? You know, why would God do that? That's what sets us apart from everybody else. Our God does this for us. Next slide. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to take it, lay it down. I have the power to take it up. Now, Jesus, you know, you can't kill Jesus. Can't kill God. Can't kill Jesus as God's Son. Next slide. I have received this command from my Father. Now, Jesus, you know, God as a person, he's showing us what to do. We listen to God. We listen to Jesus. Jesus is God. So he obediently came, was a good example for us, and then also laid down his life for us because he knows that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So without him doing this, you know, we couldn't. You know, like the teacher I showed a while ago, you know, I never give 100% because that's a perfect score. Nobody's perfect. You know, we could never get to heaven without Jesus doing what he did. And so I'll close it with a brief prayer and then we'll move forward with our service. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, coming as Jesus and dying on the cross so that we can accept your salvation and accept all your forgiveness. Thank you for being our good shepherd. And be with us as we go forward and move on out after this service. Help us to be a good witness to other people that are not part of the flock yet. Help us to remember this in all our actions and all our thoughts. Because people watch us, and so that we might be a good witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.